7 o'clock, so I will be happy to call to order the November 7th, 2016 DRB meeting of City of Kirkland. Start with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Okay, first thing we have is reading and or approval of minutes. I looked them over. Did anybody see anything on them that is? Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve.
Yeah, move to approve minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moving then seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Tonight's agenda is now apparently down to two items. First item is a conceptual design conference. Actually, both are conceptual design conferences. The first is Plaza 330 4th Street, and the second is the 1029 office on Market Street. And those are the only two items. The third has been continued to a later DRB meeting. Now is the time for any requests from the audience on items unrelated to these other two agenda items. I assume there's no one here for that. So let's dive right in with the Plaza 330 Conceptual Design Conference. And Tony?
All right. Thank you. Tony Levitt, Planning Department. This is the second conceptual design conference for this property. The project is now known as Plaza 330 4th Street. Here is a vicinity map showing the subject property. It's located at 330 4th Street at the corner of 4th Street and 4th Avenue. To the east of the property is the applicant's Arete project. To the southwest is the Capri mixed-use project the DRB reviewed in 2013. The applicant is proposing to construct a five-story LEED Platinum certified mixed-use building that will include one level of below-grade parking connected to the applicant's project to the east. And the street level uses vary by scheme, but all schemes include ground floor parking and four levels of residential suites and studios above. So the previous meeting summary, at the October 3rd DRB meeting, the applicant presented a conceptual design for a project called Vernant. After deliberation, the DRB requested the applicant return to a future meeting for an additional conceptual design conference. The DRB was concerned that only one design massing concept was shown and that concept required a setback variation. They had requested the applicant provide additional concept design alternatives. A massing concept that does not require any minor variations was requested as a baseline comparison with the other design concepts. The DRB suggested another massing concept for comparison that would shift the courtyard to a north-south orientation. Additional comments the board provided included comments regarding the setback variations along 4th Avenue, project landscaping, compliance with building height requirements, treatment and modulation along the north, south, and east facades, and light exposure in the courtyard. Some of the key zoning regulations to keep in mind, ground floor retail and residential lobby. Ground floor is retail is permitted use. Residential lobby, the extent of that is up to the DRB if it extends into that retail area. There is no intervening retail required on the ground floor. This is interpretation, actually. This plan director just signed today will be issued later this week. Setbacks are 20 feet. There are 20-foot setbacks from both 4th Avenue and 4th Street. If the applicant provides retail on the ground floor, there is no setback for that one-story retail. And the applicant additionally can request minor variations as part of the DRB process to allow protrusions into the setback yards. Maximum height is 41 feet. And finally, there's an 8-foot wide sidewalk required along 4th Street. So tonight, we're going to want you to...
You said there's no sidewalk required on 4th. Oh, 4th Avenue. Sorry.
Yeah.
Eight feet on 4th Street.
Yeah.
Nothing. Thank you.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure. No problem.
Okay. I didn't quite understand what you meant on the comment of no intervening retail and under interpretation.
Yeah, so there's a requirement for any use other than retail on ground floor to have an intervening retail use between that use and the joining right away. So that is not required on these streets because these are not pedestrian-oriented streets. So tonight, we're going to want you to look at the applicant's proposed designs and identify what are some of the key advantages of the project. As far as scale, we want to identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing. Techniques can include vertical horizontal modulation, corner treatment, and roof forms. As far as pedestrian orientation is concerned, we want to look at how does the proposed massing location structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment. What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces at the street level, plazas, dining, et cetera? What are some of the key pedestrian connections, if there are any, on the site? And how would the project engage pedestrians? Finally, as far as landscaping, we're going to want to have you look at what are some opportunities for landscaping in or open space on the subject property. So again, tonight we're going to look for you to provide feedback on how design guidelines apply to the project and determine what models, drawings, perspectives, et cetera, the applicant shall submit with the design response conference application. And with that, if there are no further questions, I will pass it on to the applicant to present.
Good evening. I'll go through the first slides quickly because you've got them in your packet and you've seen them at the prior, but we felt it was important to put it in the slides in case you want to refer back to them. Obviously, a big picture site, details of all the pictures that we took before, pictures you've seen prior. So unless you want me to go slower, I'll move to get to the parts that you've asked us to bring back to you. And we'll start right here. One of the things you asked for was a massing of not just the project, but the buildings around it, and specifically Arete. And we did that in the blue form. That was one of the comments. Again, we took voracious notes, and then we also really studied what was said. So with that, here's things again. I believe you've seen these in your packet. But here's something extra we did for you. One of the board members said, you know, this really is a smaller site and they've made it look larger. So across the street, we took pictures of single family homes and the plaza outline is in white, both scheme 2 and scheme 4 showing the plaza at the first level and also the second level. And it gives you a sense, we think it gives us a sense of scale. And then we showed you what this would look like if you compared it to Capri Above or Kirkland Urban, again, to give you a sense of scale. And then we'll start with Scheme 1. The board talked about a south-facing courtyard, which we did. This is the first floor plate of that. This is the 4th Street side of one massing option. Again, we did everything. We very carefully read the code. We read the design guidelines. We read your prior approvals to attempt to get to a massing type that's been approved in the past. You can see where the southern courtyard, also the concept of the blue building, which one of the board members brought forward, is, I think, a good one. We have been in touch with our neighbors to the south at the gas station, and we feel that the courtyard to the south has some disadvantages. One, at the point of redevelopment, I think it struggles. I think even prior to redevelopment, because they want to put in a car wash right there next to our property line, it would also struggle for that as well as its existing condition. Plus, the courtyard does not tie to the rest of the plaza. So we see that as some of the challenges that this concept faces. These are just, you know, multiple perspectives. We've got some west elevation. That west elevation could look for this, but also other designs that you'll see, that you've already seen in your packet, including one that we did not bring forward, and that is an atrium design where there would be no courtyard, but rather an interior atrium court. But we just didn't think it was the first choice, so we don't like doing throwaways as such, so we left it off. And then this is the floor plate for, where am I? There we go. So we did a sun study for each of them, as you saw. You know, if we were on Central Way, we think this would be our preferred choice. But knowing that a building will be built to that size, and we made that building over the gas station code compliant, so we were very careful. We also did an ABE study on it, so that, you know, within a foot or so, we think would be correct there. So that takes us to scheme two. Here's your conceptual floor plate only, but something to, you get a sense of how the retail would lay out. Again, basic massing, trying to get a sense from the board, you know, which courtyard, if it is a courtyard that you would like to see, or if you don't want a courtyard, to tell us that. And then we also have things like our stairways to heaven. We didn't send you examples, though we have them here tonight, but, you know, done with an artful touch can be really a creative touch, but we want to see if the how the board feels about that, or you say, no, we don't want to see something like that. And different perspectives, again, to scheme two. And lots of potential for modulation and fenestration articulation. And, you know, we'd love to have a dialogue and where you'd want us to go, and also the theme of the building. We're very open to that. And that may be too much for this evening, but any details that you can give us would be appreciated. And it gives you a floor plate layout. And then, again, we looked at the sun. We have quite a bit of experience having lived through a couple summers next door. And we think that the west-facing plaza would actually get quite a bit of sun, because the building, even next door when it's built out, would be required to have a similar plaza, so that we would get a lot of sun. Even in the wintertime, we would get a lot of sun. So, and scheme three is the north-facing. It has architecturally a lot of potential in terms of its approach to Fourth Avenue. Obviously, we see a struggle with it tying in our minds, to the architectural features of a retail base on 4th Street. But it had some interesting thoughts to it. These are things we looked at, but we just don't see how that gets us there. And the code has a clear bias in our mind, the design guidelines, against a shaded courtyard. So we understand that. So here's more looks at that. It took a lot of time and energy to give you full optional schemes. I don't know if I'm going fast enough or too fast or just about right or okay. And again, a floor plate and gives you an idea of how the retail. We did, there was a lot of discussion about retail. And we not only listened, we listened to understand. So we went out to other retailers that we know, and we also went out to retail brokers. And they said, actually, this is a pretty good space and would be welcomed by either a destination deli or restaurant of a certain type. Financial groups would love to have it. And there's other destination-based retail, and it's only a block away from Central, so they felt it would do fine. And again, this is a north-facing on this. And the challenge here is clearly that the courtyard itself would not get the sun that you would want it to. But it still has sun on the forward decks, and because we're tied to next door, it would give our residents a lot of flow between the two properties and a lot of choices. Scheme four. Now, the insight from Susan on this was really intriguing to us. We really worked on the thought. And so we said, okay, let's take the retail out. And we got pretty excited about that. And we did go west-facing because we think it's the preferred direction for a courtyard. And we said, okay, well, we can make the base work, and we can work the middle to residential and give it a good top. We can do all those parts. So we then looked at the code. We looked very carefully at the code, and we went to staff and said, okay, we got to have, you know, only 80% lot coverage. What does that do to us? Well, unfortunately, because there's parking underneath, which everybody wants us to park our cars on site, it has to pretty much almost most of it would could not be people based. It can only be landscape planters at least 2 feet wide, 40 foot total square footage. So you can't put bocce ball in there. You can't do your barbecues and your tables. And so that was I guess we really liked the thought. So we worked with staff on this. And we really think it had a lot of merit to it. So we getting to the next, so here's our floor plate, and we just think we could see that whole thing wrapping around, but we just couldn't get past the code on its first step. So we said, okay, what choices do we have? And again, the sun works. And working with staff, they said, well, okay, that doesn't really work because unless you want all landscaping and no people places. But maybe you take this and go back to scheme two and do a hybrid between the two and put retail just to the forward section, maybe put a step back the first floor on Fourth Avenue 5 feet and landscape it even more and put residential there. And then you get more residential. It'll have a nice blend, less retail, but enough, and it gives you choices. And so we were pretty intrigued with the hybrid of the two. And so we'd like to get a sense of how the board feels about that. And scheme two works, but we think scheme four's concepts are very, very good, and we'd like to go as far with that as we could if the board so deems it. So that's for it for now. So we have other pictures to talk about materials if you're interested, or we can, we know there's a game on, so we're trying to be sensitive to that. But if we could get a sense of massing and preference and entry and how does the pedestrian work with it, with the retail and other things. Thank you.
Any direct clarifying questions to the applicant?
I have a question.
Carolyn?
I was not at the last meeting, so how did that discussion about a pure residential come about? What was the basis of it? Just a little background.
I think a lot of it was the setback, the 20-foot required setback on 4th Avenue mm-hmm. was the original Verdant proposal, if I can summarize correctly, had minimal setback for the residential portions above that first floor, above the retail down below.
We wanted an option mm-hmm. Yeah. to see what. So it was kind of geared towards, okay, we had one strong option last time, but we wanted two more. One of them okay. being co-compliant. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of the retail, I was concerned about the height of the retail floor and whether it was viable for retail. And then also, wrapping all around at this location, would people actually get drawn from downtown to the site? So it was more query. And then wondering if it was required. I think that was, it sounds like it was not.
I'm a little confused about the hybrid option still. Because if I'm understanding this, we're just showing the retail option and the residential option. But
We haven't seen the hybrid option. Yeah.
Yeah, we only saw one option last time, and it okay. was like a than a terraced building on the west.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is it? Can we see that?
See.
Yeah, what you had last time. Can we just, do you have a slide?
Of Verdant.
Let's see. Okay.
I've got the packet. I mean, I brought that.
I'll do it. So we have other concepts to look at in terms of massing and art, but keep going. Angela? Okay.
And we made the comment we wanted to see it in a massing without the trees.
I think the other thing is just that with one option and a fairly significant variance from the code required setbacks, we felt that we should at least explore what could be done and
come full compliance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you don't, there are no minor variations you're talking about at this stage?
To our best of our knowledge, and we read the code multiple times very carefully and worked with staff, unless Jeremy or Tony can tell you otherwise, we don't think we're asking for anything in here.
I think everything you see here is code compliant, and just a couple subtleties on that the retail there's a 20-foot setback. So retail was put in as an incentive, like, oh, if you want a retail, then you can go to a 0-foot setback. And then Robert talked about the lot coverage. When you go to 0-foot setback, you also get 100% lot coverage. Mm-hmm. And so that's the complexity of doing the no retail scheme. So the hybrid, which maybe you can talk about a little bit more, might be just retailing the west side.
Right.
Take care of the concern about retail facing north, which perhaps doesn't make that much sense.
Yeah.
You could still, the code would still allow you to take advantage of the 100% lot coverage, but you're not forced to put retail on that north frontage.
So that north frontage could be offices or something like that. That's a non-retail function.
If it goes into that 20-foot setback. Then
so this is showing here a 20-foot setback?
No, this is showing.
Yeah, this is a 20-foot setback here and zero for the retail.
Right.
This is straight scheme two.
Scheme two.
So a strictly code compliant hybrid would mean you pull that protrusion that Robert's pointing to, the laser, you pull that back to 20 feet, but then on the west side you could still have that protrusion going out into the setback. So anything in retail can go out into the setback, but if you're going to land the residential use on the ground level, then it would need that 20-foot setback or the intervening retail.
So you're not pursuing right now the concept of where some of the residential steps forward and some goes back like you were doing before?
Yeah, Verdant's net volume because of setbacks, including looking at the north, is actually about 85% based on going to the top floor plate. Of the code allowed, if we don't have a courtyard and we do all the code compliant modulation and articulation, this one is about 86 or 88%. Very close, but compared to Compre, which I had in the cover letter, which is 111% by our calculation. So even Verdant was, when we do these things, we give our heart and soul to them. I live in this town and I care, and but we listened, and we got a transcript of the meeting, and we read every word over and over, so we really understood the feelings of the board, and we wanted to be clear, and this is code compliant, and we're looking for direction on how to proceed accordingly.
So a question kind of to applicant and staff. In both this scheme two, straight scheme two, or the hybrid, we still have full parking that goes out at the basement level. Do we still, if the top of that parking slab, if you will, is that landscaped? Does that still meet the purpose of lot coverage in that we get permeable surfaces that are the 20% worth of permeable? Or
I think the question's only relevant for the non-retail scheme
yeah.
three?
Four.
Four. And if you went with scheme four, you could have parking below grade landscaped on top, and there is a way to design that so you could,
with enough,
20% of the lot that had, that was landscaped, even if there's concrete below, as long as it's drained and there's sufficient soil depth.
Okay. Okay. And question to the applicant, I noticed that it looks like that if it is retail, that's now a 10-foot floor to floor, where it previously was 9-foot floor to floor?
Yeah, there it would be at least 10-foot. And there's other ways. I mean, once you give us our massing, we'll work the details hard, where you could actually ramp up to a little bit higher. And working with staff, one of the thoughts that was maybe we'll go 30 or 40 feet deep here and maybe 20 feet here and really make this a focused retail because it is closer to the corner. And maybe, you know, we can do the stairs or we could widen this courtyard to 30 feet. We're looking for direction to get started so that we understand how to proceed.
Okay. Any other clarifying questions?
I guess I'm not clear of the real benefit of a hybrid. Over this scheme, for example.
I think I'll just speak for staff. The reason we brought it up is it avoids having to have retail just for the benefit of getting the setback reduction and lot coverage.
Okay.
So if it doesn't make sense to retail the north side of the building, then we'd rather not force the issue.
Okay.
I just kind of had a more of a general question. If you wouldn't mind talking a little more detail about the courtyard there, the entrance now with the, before it was just retail right there. You know, there's no stairs or anything like that. What kind of brought that about?
Well, if you want the long story, which I won't do, but a council member brought it up in Redmond once to us, and we've designed an art-based building with a stairways to heaven. And we did one in Arte, which was not planned or in that drawing, going the wrong direction. So this is what we did at Arte. This was supposed to be just steel and concrete steps. And we did this really cool artwork, the center frame here. And that came from this concept that we had received again from someone before. And so we wanted to follow up on the idea of a stairway to heaven. We think they're not inexpensive to do, but we think an artful touch might be something very special. Or we can widen the courtyard. Those are the two thoughts we had. And there's stairways to heaven are so many. We've seen them all over the world. They're just fabulous. The courtyard that we propose would match the upper courtyard, which is 20 feet in width. We're saying, well, maybe we make it 30, and maybe the board says, well, code compliant, yes, but maybe we want you to move the building a little bit north so you widen the courtyard. We're very flexible in how you want to approach it. And we're just providing some thoughts and ideas that give you some way. You know, we like to do architecture that's fun and different, and I don't know if I've got this right. Angela, am I going the wrong way for 10? Yeah, obviously. Okay, let me go to... This is a building that's under construction in Redmond. You can see in the lower area that this will be a stairway to heaven. We're going to have a four-story piece of art on the building. This is an art walk here. This is Redmond's first living street that we're creating. But we really love the idea of building in the art along the base and on the building and on the stairs. So we were highly, the DRB in Redmond was most pleased with this. So that's what we're looking for, fun and unique and different, and being careful to stay code compliant. This had, by the way, at least 10 deviations to their code.
Okay.
So I'll go back to, I don't know where you want me to.
Could you say a few words about the terraces and how they might be used?
Well, the challenge of Scheme 4 was we can't use it the way we want to, which is about people. We want to put in tables and chairs and barbecues and bocce ball, all of which we've done at Arte, which was not necessarily part of the requirements, but we keep understanding how our people live and what they want. So we really want to create a fun place for our residents to enjoy. And the look of the building is very important. We're the only one that on the east side that's building the smaller affordable units and LEED Platinum. But people really care about what their home looks like from the outside. And we really care. And they care about how they can use it. So we blending it all together is always a challenge.
So the hybrid version on the north side at the ground floor level, does it still need the parking spaces that go all the way out to the property line? Or would those be cut off to come in whatever distance?
It can come in whatever distance you want it to be. We always like to provide as much parking because that's what our neighbors want.
Yeah.
But we can bring it all the way into the base, or you could bring it halfway in, you could bring it 5 feet in, whatever you felt was appropriate.
But with reduced retail area, we eliminate the need for parking those. Does it allow us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have the flexibility. And we have a lot of extra parking at Arte. We built more stalls than we were required to.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
So is there a picture anywhere of your idea of the hybrid?
We discussed this with staff and felt that, you know, if we did that, then maybe we're taking it too far too quickly. So we didn't do it. But I think the board's got a lot of experience. There's a lot of flexibility. But if you can look along the north line and see the retail coming back roughly 20 feet, and then we think it would be better to bring the residential back about 5 feet, landscape it out nicely, and then that leaves lots of platform up above. That would be our first thinking, more continuity. But you can tuck it farther back. It's really what you feel is the correct insight.
So you're proposing pulling the north, the residential toward the north and asking for variation? We're
not proposing any variation. If the board thinks it's wise to do, we would do it. We're being very careful.
Okay.
But it's an option that we had not, we felt the concept of residential along 4th Avenue is very wise and thoughtful and that part of this actually is below grade, by the way. There'd be about a 3-foot wall on that first level, pretty much how you see here.
The berm.
It's still right there,
yeah.
So it's not a full one floor.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? Now would be the time for any member of the public in the audience to speak directly to this project. Anyone desires to, now's the time. Looks like nobody, so let's go ahead and begin our deliberation as a board. Somebody want to jump in?
Well, I guess I'll start by saying that I do appreciate their, you know, exploration of all the options. You know, they kind of showed us what a co-compliant version looks like. They made the effort to kind of address our concerns there. I think they're kind of hitting on all the key points. I, for one, want a west-facing courtyard. You know, we wanted to see, you know, what it would look like if we were facing south. And if we're faced with kind of a full development, you know, on that south side, then I don't think that's the way we want to go. It's important, I think, to kind of connect the courtyard and the terraces and the plaza together. I think all of those kind of combined really strengthen each of the individual spaces, whereas if they were kind of segregated, they wouldn't be as successful. So I think they're on the right track here.
Go for it. How wide in this scheme is your courtyard?
This courtyard is, which courtyard? The retail?
No, the residential.
The residential is 20. The courtyard you saw at Verdun in the shoot down picture is 16. And so Verdant is, I'm sorry, Arete, I apologize. Arete is 16 feet with the exception of the courtyard on Central, which starts out wider and then narrows.
Okay, so the lower courtyard. Can I ask one last question? So this is only where your stairway goes up, is only entrances to retail and courtyard on, and that's 30 feet with the stairs?
Plus or minus a foot, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And that's only really going to be used for retail and pedestrian use?
What else would it?
No,
the entry lobby, once you set back 30 feet, your residential can do what it wants to do, correct, Jeremy?
Mm-hmm.
So what we've designed to is the lobby itself for the residential is in the back. You can get to the elevators, but you have a second choice to walk the stairs, and people really like that.
The rationale behind removing the retail from the north side for sure. So I think that get the hybrid solution is not bad from that point of view. Seems to meet some of the needs for greater outdoor leisure and recreation activities and socializing too. And I think that the courtyard on the west is the right solution. I would agree with that. But I'd like to see, if we were to go in that direction, a little more development about how that might actually work. And would you want to consider widening that courtyard? I think, Scott, you might have been getting onto that point, too. I think if we were to move the facade to the north, that could definitely add a lot to that courtyard.
I was just, not even for the residents, I was just thinking for the public.
Yeah.
This, as opposed to the last scheme we saw, had a lot of articulation in the front. This is very straight up and down, rigid. And I think if this is the option, I think the building needs to be broken up with a larger courtyard just for the public view.
I'm of a mind to say that I don't like the hybrid because I think this scheme too with retail all the way up to the property line makes the most sense. If the applicant says he's received word that this could be a very successful little cafe or something like that, that north side of the retail level would be ideal place for kitchen, back of house kinds of things that don't need a lot of presence to the street and the berms there anyway. So I'm of a mind to say, you know, go all the way up to the property line with the base floor. It gives the most parking off of 4th Avenue as well. And then go ahead and let's discuss some minor variations where at least the floor number 2 of those north units can come out a bit and reduce what I would think is going to be an almost unusable north side, you know, plaza deck that's totally in shade majority of the time. And it's too big for the second floor only people to have use of it. You know, reduce that. That creates terraces on top of those, you know, second floor units for the third floor to use. You know, I fully anticipated and hoped that we would see at least another variation or another scheme that did have minor variations that weren't as major as they were last time. And it does speak directly to
and
bigger courtyard.
Variations, and I don't know if we sent the wrong message, and you know, because we've been faulted before for not stepping the building back as he goes up to upper floors. Right. So you know, I'm not opposed to the building coming out a little bit at the bottom with a variation.
With the widened interior courtyard, the way I see it working a little better too is that the stairway to heaven doesn't make that right angle bend. It then can go straight up so the public that uses it can see straight up and that there is a real courtyard up there at that second floor. And it doesn't, I don't have my pointer, but if you do the Stairway to Heaven, you end up taking a U-turn right there by that studio unit on floor number two that there's got to be lots of windows and glass and for them.
Well, and the way the Stairway to Heaven is in this, it looks like a mistake.
It was a second choice. Yeah. It was, yeah. So, you know, I'm fine with a minor variation on floor two and retail all the way out there. It stacks directly over the parking below. It does get the 100% lot coverage allowable. So I'm curious how others feel.
Well, one question I have is, how is it going to respond to the single family across the street?
On 4th Avenue or 4th Street?
Oh, I'm talking about the north side.
Yeah, there's that large existing set of trees, and then there's a wide alley,
like
essentially.
Do you want to see the picture? Didn't feel like the same intimacy with them as you do on.
Yeah.
On.
Looking at, yeah, I was
saying it's almost like an alley.
It is effectively an alley. Yeah.
Plus, just kitty corner, you have that Sternoff building that's huge.
They're just towers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was their go back one.
Upper left. Is it? Yeah.
Yep.
And then 12 and 13.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I think certainly retail that is not heavily windowed or, you know, can be fairly successful there with the berm up against it and trees in front of it. And then up on the pedestal level for floor two, you know, residential unit setback a certain distance. I think of is it Soho, the project over here on 7th Avenue? It's setback a fair distance, but it does have units that, you know, poke out and then there's stuff on top of it, and it's in a totally residential area, but it still feels very successful. I think the distance-wise would be similar to this when you look at the actual curb line, not the property line, for what is essentially an alley. Not not huge vehicle traffic because it's not a through street. So, I agree with you, Scott. The widened interior courtyard, lets in more light. It looks more inviting.
It would benefit the residents greatly.
True.
But I think it also would benefit the public looking at the building.
Yeah. So
I think that's the thing I kind of cued in on first looking at this was a wider courtyard too, and for that matter too, for the retail as well. I think that makes it more inviting, kind of activates it a little bit better, which you already have a bit of a challenge since you are one building off of Central. You know, so that was kind of what had caught my eyes, feeling something that was didn't quite match up with everything else.
I think that's the point. We asked them to come back for another conceptual conference. You know, they proposed all of the variations, and we wanted to see the baseline. And now we understand, if we do grant that variation, we're getting, you know, a wider courtyard. We're getting maybe some setbacks and some terracing. So, you know, after seeing what they presented today, I feel much more comfortable granting some variances. I think it'll make some obvious improvements.
Makes a superior building.
Yeah.
Superior design.
Yeah, we didn't know what we didn't know last time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. What, any thoughts from the board on doing the same thing, perhaps on the 4th Street side? Let's say, for instance, if the Stairway to Heaven doesn't turn and head northward, but just head straight eastward, what if those units on maybe the north side of the horseshoe, if you will, if those are allowed to do a minor variation toward the street? Any thoughts? I mean, this kind of goes back to the Verdant.
I would
stair-stepping that we saw previously.
I was thinking about that. I would maybe entertain like a push and pull. I would like to take that south end and maybe push it back a little bit just to get some more light in and open it up more towards the south to get pedestrians to walk in. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they want to make up maybe some of that distance by pulling the north, like maybe something like that. But I think that I feel much better about widening the courtyard. I'm not sure what the courtyard would gain by just pulling it out, you know, and adding terracing. I don't know. Maybe I'd have to see it.
Yeah. Susan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree about the west facing courtyard. I think the discussion of the base and the retail, I think the proof is in the details when you have that retail, low retail with terrace on the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a little curious that, you know, that we lost the scheme from last time. It didn't live on as one of the options.
I thought it would be our third.
Yeah.
You know.
So the fact that it went,
got renamed and it's bye bye.
It's disappeared. Wasn't probably what I anticipated. But.
So Susan, you're talking about that kind of effect.
Yeah. In asking for a code compliant option and asking just to meet the requirements of code mm-hmm. compliant and three schemes, that the one that we saw is now no longer in play, or we don't really know yet. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. So. To the extent that the Verdant was much more heavily drawn and detailed and pochéd, and really it was almost design response conference level of definition versus, you know, what we see here, this is more appropriate for just the massing and studying that aspect. But maybe the hybrid version or a hybrid of a hybrid may pick up pieces of Verdant that, and I like, Brad, your suggestion of push and pull. It does, the blue of the gas station, you know, that eventual volume there, you know, if that side is pushed back just a little bit, maybe even just one unit's worth. I don't know which direction. Those are the studio end units, which are the biggest and best. But, you know, just one there is going to let in a lot more light, direct sunlight into the courtyard. The other piece of it, the courtyard actually necks down when you get to the elevator core and the stairs. So the wider it is right at the get-go out at the west end means that it's a little bit wider when you get back into the deep recesses of it.
I think that I'm open to entertaining a stepping back, mm-hmm. pulling up those, stepping back behind. Something else, just observation. I think it's just going to be the nature of it, is because it's on close to the property line on the south. Until the gas station is built, there's if you look at the elevations, there's very few windows on that mm-hmm. side. So the view from downtown will be a little mm-hmm. bleak.
Yeah, about on the lower level there, especially, or
no,
or
all the way,
or
up,
all
the way
up.
The way it's delineated right now, the forward parts are blank walls, and then they're getting their windows in the recesses for those units.
Because it's the studio unit, which doesn't need, the egress can happen on the west side or even in the courtyard side, not necessarily true. The other, all the rest of the eco units, that needs maximum surface area, because every unit has to have the egress on it instead of burying closets and bathrooms and, second spaces on exterior walls. But that southwest studio unit, that's the one that you're talking about that has...
Yeah. Look at the elevation.
Yeah.
Elevation.
It had some small punch. Yeah.
I mean, they have some nice vertical modulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I think if we look at Capri, you know, across the street there on Central, it was highly encouraged that we have that very active podium level where it over, you know, looked out over the street with activity and residents and all of that. And that's, I mean, put a guardrail on that edge of the podium here, and that's exactly what we have here. But it's, you know, it's such a big amorphous kind of space. If the units are closer to that, it defines the courtyards for those units on floor two, I think, a little better.
And 20 foot in the middle is hard. It's hard to live with that.
You're looking directly across it, real close, yeah.
I was concerned before that maybe the retail wouldn't be that desirable, and I'm pleased to find that that there really is a market for it.
Mm-hmm.
There so, is. I mean, you have to look. Park Place, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
It's right yeah. across the street. So yeah. I think any kind of restaurant there, if it serves lunch, will
I mean, if,
probably.
If Ubus comes in there, I guarantee it's filled all the time. I mean, it's just it's restaurants like that are that people know about. They'll walk one block, one and a half, 2 blocks to it.
Yeah, you have
It'll
to
be.
Look where you have all these apartments and condominiums now across the street, yeah. you know, and going to be in Park Place. So I would imagine that it's going to be highly sought after retail space.
So that reinforces the idea that maybe if you're going to have retail, have it big enough to have some flexibility in its use.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, moving away from the hybrid concept.
Yeah. And staff, is it still the interpretation that if it does become office, that still is acceptable in terms of the, or does it have to be proven that retail doesn't work before office is allowed as that use that grants the full lot coverage?
It has to be retail to take advantage of the 20-foot setback reduction.
Okay.
So but there's kind of two, so you got two things in play here. You know, you've got the interpretation that we're taking away basically says you don't have to have the intervening retail on the ground floor, but then there's also the code section that says the retail has to go to 0 foot setback, you have to have retail.
But at our last meeting, I thought we had discussed it, that it could be retail slash office.
Well, some offices are considered retail,
yeah,
like
if
certain
banks. A bank or a mortgage, it could be considered retail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
if
we think of it as an office, but it's classified as retail.
Okay.
Yeah,
but the applicant stated that that would be a great location for their business. Is that considered retail slash office if somebody comes in there to discuss development projects, or I mean, what's that?
No, that's an office use.
Okay.
It's I think the line we talked about at the last meeting was really it was the definition of banking and related financial institutions can get stretched, and you can get things that
okay.
can also go in an
yeah.
office.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify it.
So should the board be in the business of encouraging the pure residential or the residential commercial, residential retail, or is that really at this point responding
along
to
that
the developers?
Line, though, what I don't think that's our job. I think
right.
our job,
that's what
I mean, but do we have a preferred scheme here from
yeah.
the applicant of all the schemes that we've had? Okay. do we have a preferred scheme?
I heard the hybrid was where it was heading. Mm-hmm.
We really like both schemes 2 and 4. But 2, because of the code, we don't see how we can make it work in the way we'd want it to work because of the lack of people space on the courtyard.
2, 4.
I say?
4.
I'm sorry. So we, 4 can't, 2 works, 4 doesn't because of the code, and we got very into the code, worked with staff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, both of those would be preferred in our mind. But we're fine with, we're pretty excited about 2.
Okay,
I
can
think
we,
two
sorry words. To make you
yeah.
work here, can we pull 4 up real quick? So we have this great mental picture here. Let's see 4.
Yeah, I just gave my.
Oh. So am I correct, the overall west, the drawings that were concluded at the end, that is essentially scheme 2?
This is scheme 2. Scheme 4.
So in four, strictly residential landscaping all the way around?
Correct.
And the courtyard's still 20 feet up, 20 feet?
Correct. And you could, I don't know if you want me, I'll make this comment. You could widen the center courtyard as long as you landscaped whatever you widened in square footage. Does that make sense?
Would you say that again?
So if you widen the middle courtyard, let's say 5 feet, then you would have to, that would have to be in planters. You can't make it more people space.
Yeah. To stay at the 80%
in the courtyard. 80% lot coverage issue.
The planters make it deemed as permeable space.
Inside the courtyard.
Inside the courtyard.
Right. Okay.
And so when we're talking about code variances from the code, setback variance is at play, but lot coverage is not.
Right. Yeah, this zone, it's lands. I think you can modify landscape buffers and you can modify setbacks. That's it.
I know it may not be our discussion items for what happens inside the building, but all of these schemes seem to have, for the eco units, very, very little common area on individual floors. And the majority of the common, and I assume those common areas mean laundry, kitchen, dining table, you know, big enough for more than one or two people, the majority of it is put down on floor number one. At the ground floor. So, I mean, is that something we even want to discuss, or is that totally, if the applicant says this is how I'll do it that way? And
if they can fill the units, okay. I don't know if that's our call.
And as long as we have the lobby entrance is 30 feet back, it's far enough back that we don't have to judge anything on the size of the residential lobby on floor number one on either scheme two or four, correct?
Right. You can have the code and the guidelines allow some lobby to come in.
And that's just our judgment if that's too much or just about right.
It's kind of a design issue. You don't want the whole lobby out there, but if you have some entry and some space out there that's not dominating the retail frontage, it's legitimate. I don't know if it's a good spot to have it on the north side, but that would be maybe a viable option for north side to consider.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's summarize. What's the board heading toward in terms of if the preferred scheme is this one or this one?
I will tell you, I would like to see the hybrid, but I would like to see the building stared back. I'd like to see a wider courtyard. I would like to see a little bit more of what we saw a week ago with the hybrid.
Okay.
Otherwise, I like scheme four, even though it has no retail, because it's going to be very pleasant all the way around the building to have that much space. But if you're trying to engage the public and you want a building that is more engaging, then I would like to see the hybrid, but I want to see I want a few variances in there, and I want the building broken up a little better.
Okay.
Stepping back, coming forward, wider courtyard, and then yes, I think you can engage the public and have a nice retail on the first floor.
Okay. Nolan?
I think that summarized it all pretty well. You know, just going back to scheme two, I guess in particular, you know, I know we'd also talked about, we saw there being more benefit in widening the ground floor plaza and some more give and take on possibly pulling back some on the south side and pushing out more on the north to also give it a little more, a little more articulation there. I think Scott pretty much captured most of what we had talked about.
Carolyn?
Well, I guess I'm thinking then we're throwing away a few of the schemes, one and or three, the north and the south ones, mm-hmm. and then we have two options here. So now maybe we're bringing in a third one that's more articulated and is a hybrid scheme, and then we can go from there.
Okay. Brad?
I was going to say, I agree pretty much with everyone's sentiment. I feel like what we'd be saying is we're approving scheme two and encouraging some variances to benefit, you know, the public and the courtyard.
Dave?
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. Susan?
I just wonder if we should be a little more specific in our guidance in terms of last time we saw pretty much no north setback, and now mm-hmm. we see a 20-foot setback, and if we're saying that something in between is acceptable, what are we saying? If we start at zero at the base and then go back 10 and then 10 more and then, you know, or 5 and 5 and then we get extra area in the extra 10 feet in the courtyard. I mean, what are, mm-hmm. you know, does anyone have a feeling for what's too much and what's enough in terms of allowing that variance?
I think I like the way, and maybe, you know, when it comes to motion time or somebody can articulate, I think there are specific objectives you're looking for. So if the board can state the objectives of the setback variances, and you've talked about them, it's a wider courtyard, it's superior terracing, it's really kind of a quid pro quo for the superior design. And then if the board wants to articulate some realm of magnitude of that setback variation, that might be helpful too. I think if you state the objectives, that helps staff and the applicant to work on it mm-hmm. before the design response conference. And if it just needs fine tuning at the design response conference, then that can be done.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would sort of say let's say that the fifth floor, fourth floor of that north side needs to be 20 feet back. You know, I guess I don't see that high up being able to be varying into the north setback. But floors 2 and 3, you know, just 10 feet for floor 2 perhaps. And, I mean, because that gives a decent outside room sort of deck space for...
I have to play devil's advocate, though, here. Is if we're saying that, then we're saying that there's nothing to give to the courtyard. And I think the courtyard width was one of them.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like 5 and 5 or something. Yeah. That's right. I don't think you want to be too prescriptive in it, but yeah. be more objective based.
Yeah.
So the widened courtyard, and somebody said a straight run stair instead of an L. So that would impact mm-hmm. if we, and I think that would improve it for sure.
Yeah.
And I would encourage terracing or setbacks along the north side, you know, if possible.
I think also the west facing,
yeah,
because that's going to be where, and in our previous, our last meeting, there was fairly gracious stair backs from the
yeah.
base up to the roof.
Yeah, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that return.
Somewhere.
Okay. And I'm willing to grant variances on that to get, it's just,
yeah.
I like the fact that with this, the roof lines are so much more interesting than what we have here. And
I agree with you. I mean, I think that, I mean, aren't we sort of talking about similar at the north and the west?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But living with the, basically the more vertical facades on the south and the east where they're adjacent, it's a party wall condition.
Mm-hmm. But the even on scheme two, that south side, those are deep enough punches for those courtyards, for the decks on each of those spaces. I think it worked pretty well. It definitely is different than we had on the original Verdant, which was much mm-hmm. more planar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see that because
even
though those courtyards eventually may be looking directly across it, equivalent courtyards to the gas station development, but that happens everywhere.
Yeah. And who's to say that it doesn't become a car wash and that's it for the next 25 years? Well,
we can look at that wall when it comes back to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to take Jeremy's suggestion and state it in terms of objectives rather than concrete, we like the notion of increased courtyard width, interior courtyard width, variation in terms of stepping and setting units back as we move from the ground plane or the pedestal plane, both on the north side and the west side, perhaps a straightened stairway to heaven that leads directly into the interior courtyard, and perhaps better modulation or so we don't get such a planar west face, southwest corner perhaps. Is that a good way to state it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that...
I'm not sure that was a good way to say it because I didn't understand the planar.
Well, if we encourage stepping back with units, we create some terraces as we step back, and it reduces along the west facade.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So that we effectively reduce the size, the linear dimension of that podium level on floor two, the top of the retail level, because a unit could come out there perhaps, and have a terrace on top of it, et cetera, like Verdant seemed to have much more. Concretely. At this point, we don't really need another conceptual design conference, or because we.
Nope.
We don't.
No, I would just suggest you. Well, I maybe come back and talk, bring closure to the discussion on the south facade.
Okay.
I think the concern about blank walls and proximity to the property lines was brought up. And then just invite the applicant to make sure they've got good,
okay.
They need additional clarification to help them proceed. I mean, let's get that nailed down.
Okay. So looking at the south elevation on scheme two, it's our page 49. And again, we're looking at this almost from a design response conference level of complexity, looking at fenestration on that south side. There.
Oops.
That one right there. So those the recessed punches are where windows are, then are we assuming that we get blank walls that are where openings are not permitted? Is that, am I reading that correctly? No, we
just didn't articulate it out.
Because we're far enough back.
Yeah,
we're
just trying to get a feel which
line.
Way you want us to go, and then we'll do a lot of detailing.
Okay, that's good. Is there a resolution, a question to the applicant, is there a resolution on that alleyway, the vacated alleyway thingy at this point?
They've asked us to come back with, we had a very nice meeting last week, and they asked us to come back with a bullet points of the concepts, because we gave them a drawing, and I would say, I never give anything more than 70%, but I'd say we're over 50-50 that we'll come to a positive understanding. And when they started to realize the value of their building and what that meant and all the other parts and pieces, they it was good. So I think we'll have a positive outcome, but I don't have that until it's signed off. One never knows.
So, but that means you may have 8 more feet.
We may have what we're working on right now as a concept. We may actually have 16 feet. I hate to tell you this, but 16 feet on the first half, and go to 0 on the back half. We don't know that. We think we should proceed as the property that we own with an 8-foot buffer, but we're both talking about both setting back from our buffers. It's too complicated to go in here.
Okay.
But this will work or better with what we're talking to them about.
Okay. So if it is full 16 in the front half and 0 in the, then you'll get a nice little modulation.
Correct. We see lots of landscape opportunities and maybe a featured art piece or something. So
okay.
We're thinking through it.
Okay. All right. The east face, which will face Arete, again, is there any board comment on that?
I don't think it's going to be very visible.
I don't either, and I think it's... there will be a fair amount of pedestal concrete the back of the garage at that, you know, main floor, the entry level there. Okay. Any questions from the applicant to us in terms of where we're heading with our comments and our deliberation?
We hope we heard you well. We'll pay very close attention, but we like the idea of the push and the pull. We think that's an opportunity that we'd like to explore in great detail.
Okay. That's all we need, correct?
Yep.
No motions, no nothing there. Okay. Very good. Do we want to, it's 8:10. We were 10 minutes over our 1 hour allotted time. Do we want to take a quick break or just jump right into Market Street? I'm fine.
I'm all right.
Moving right along.
Well, before we just proceed into the next one, I have to recuse myself again.
Yep.
But before I do go, I'd like to encourage everyone on the board, if you haven't already, to take a minute and read through some of the letters that some of the people, you know, in Kirkland have written. You know, we don't always get them, and if they take the time to write them, I think it's only fair that we take the time to read them and get their input.
Very good. Thank you. And did that Verdant packet end up over there? I'm going to put it back.
I buried it in my file here. Yep.
Okay, next item on the agenda is conceptual design conference for 1029 Market, office on Market Street. And Janice, if you're ready, we will.
Yes, I'll just give a brief overview while we are setting this up here. The architects are setting this up. So you received several letters, majority in support today and yesterday that I forwarded to you, made copies for you. And in the packet, there are two new versions, schemes, for you to look at. One is scheme one that is in keeping with the required zoning setbacks, and then the scheme two is the preferred drawing, preferred option. So I guess now, Rob, did you want to say a few words while we are getting the plans up?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Janet.
All right. So the property owner here, Rob Dibble.
All right. Thank you, and good evening. I especially appreciate your time. I know you're volunteers, and this is taking away from your evening. So we'll be as expeditious as we can and kind of cover the bullet points and the high points. So, again, I'm the owner, and I own the engineering company, and we are just so incredibly excited to be able to actually potentially build our own building that we can occupy and have it as a landmark building on Market Street to represent the engineering type of work that we do and then intentionally reside there for at least the foreseeable future of the 15 to 20 years that I have left in practice. I was a very busy guy today. I did a lot of outreach. I talked to a lot of neighbors, And I got a considerable amount of letters in response. I think we could talk about the business owners on Market Street that own land, the law group, and the accountant who own buildings and businesses on Market, and they provided supporting letters similar to other engineers down the street who sent in a letter. Then we also talked to some homeowners, several homeowners in the east of Market area, Finn Hill area, who drive by the site all the time and are very familiar. But really the most important two are the neighbor across the alley and the neighbor immediately adjacent to us. Bob Lair is the neighbor to the north, and I've been working with Bob and Trish for a long time about the project, and they're very supportive. They didn't get his letter. He didn't get his letter in today, but he said it'll be in by the 14th, the timeline for public outreach. Roshan across the alley, he did send in his letter, very supportive. Talked about a lot of things, and he's very excited about the project. So of all the outreach letters, negative or positive, certainly the ones that are adjacent to the site should play into that. I did talk to the neighbor to the south, Dr. Green. He's got that triangular lot. He's kind of in the much slower and earlier design review process of getting that site, and he just expressed that he had kind of gotten, because of his challenges similar to ours, that reduced setbacks on Market and the other frontages was being discussed openly with the planners, but he just hasn't gotten it on the record yet. There was a historic hearing examiner decision on a reduced setback on his prior project before it got canceled before the recession. So I think there is some history there, and there will continue to be some advancements on that site immediately to the south of us. So from our office, We need the space. We really would like to stay there, and our intention is to really take, you know, the majority of that space right out of the gate. So my hope is that we can continue on the same schedule and path. I'm going to let Arthur Chang, the architect, talk a little more of the technical language, since as an engineer that's not my forte. But I think he's got some. He took this and developed it really well based on the feedback that you guys gave us. I'm really excited. All my staff are really excited to see this. So hopefully you are as well, and we can move on to that design response department phase. So Arthur,
sure.
Thank you.
Just do this. Okay. I'm going to go through this presentation fairly quickly. I'm not going to review a lot of the materials that we had brought before you in the meeting previously. I apologize to anybody that wasn't at the previous one, but I think our schemes are new enough that it's probably not that relevant, the schemes that we showed previously. We had come before the board previously and showed three massing schemes, and got a lot of good feedback from the board, and then they'd asked us to come back with two more schemes, one that's code compliant and one that's asking for a little bit of leniency on the side yard setbacks, or the front yard setbacks, rather. And that's what we've done. Before I get into that, I just want to go back through and kind of remind everybody where the site is. And one of the things that was asked by the board at the last meeting was for us to investigate if there was any other kind of encroachments onto the Market Street front site, front setback that we could find. And so we did that. And what we did is up just off of this map, and we didn't make a new map, but these kind of couple of blocks right here, there are two examples of buildings that actually encroach into the front yard setback. And we have pictures of that, which I will show you. And then the other precedents, which Rob just mentioned, was that this triangular lot that's right adjacent to us, there was a variance that was applied for and granted for side yard setbacks. So there's a precedent set for granting that based on basically hardship for the lot. And we think that the geometry of our lot and that one share a lot of the same hardships. So there's a little bit of precedent set for that. Our understanding is that is being redeveloped right now, and there's a project that's moving ahead. And they are being encouraged to basically reduce their Market Street setback down to zero for that one. And so I don't know, that's what we've heard. We don't have any, you know, formal, you know, approvals, but that's something that's coming down the pipeline. So so these are the two projects that actually encroach. These are just off of the map there to the north. One is a dental building, which is A on the map over to the right. That one encroaches probably about 10 feet into the setback. And that's the top picture of this series there. And the second building is a restaurant that's on the opposite side of the street. And it has this kind of semicircular addition that's put on the front of it, and that one also encroaches about 10 feet into the Market Street setback.
Do you know when these buildings were built?
I do not. They seem like they're pretty...
The restaurant's pretty old.
Yeah, they're both of them are pretty old, so they've been there for a while. So that was just in response to what the board had asked us to do. Coming back, this is our building envelope that we had showed last time, and nothing has changed from our last presentation. We're meeting all the requirements for all the setbacks in both of our proposals, with the exception that the second proposal is asking for some leniency on the front yard setbacks on 11th Market and 3rd Street. Right now, there is a 20-foot setback requirement, and that's where we're asking for some leniency. So I'm going to go right into the schemes. So the first scheme is the code compliance scheme. We've scrambled to do this. We didn't have a lot of time from the last review that we came before you with. In that presentation, we had shown a scheme that was code compliant, but it required quite a few off-site parking stalls. And what we heard at the last design review was that we probably weren't going to get granted those stalls. So we basically reworked that scheme in order to make it only need 4 off-site parking stalls. So it's in kind with the second scheme that we're going to show. And in doing that, we tried to get this as efficient as possible and still maximize our office space. And that resulted in the scheme where we still have the below parking, and then we have a little bit of parking on the ground level in order to balance the parking with the amount of office space that we can get within this code-compliant version. What we were able to do by trying to get as efficient parking as possible, we were able to get about 10,800 square feet of area off of this one. What that kind of did to the scheme, however, is that in order to keep the parking as efficient as possible on the bottom level, it creates kind of only one pocket for where the core for the building can go. It's that kind of corner that's at the elbow of the L. And then so that kind of set up how the lobby works and everything else for the building for circulation. The second thing that in order for us to get enough parking and get the barrier-free parking to work is that the parking kind of overflows outside of the building to what we're allowed to do for our landscape buffers. And so that would be screened from the neighbors with basically landscaping as required by the code. Here's what the massing looks like when we take that scheme and we look at it. What you see is that we've listened to the board and said that we really wanted to celebrate kind of the shape of the lot. So it's a very continuous facade that wraps around. But we had to kind of bump up the area where the entrance is because we have an elevator override for the building that's going to have to go above the roof line. And so we're still choosing to basically bring a parapet up in order to disguise that elevator override. The other thing you'll notice about the scheme is that we do have that parking that comes out of the parking garage on the one side, which we're trying to screen. But it's kind of our balance point of providing enough parking in order to get this to be code compliant and maximize our amount of square footage. We're pretty happy with this, how this turned out, but we are still short of our goal of getting closer to 12,000 square feet of office space. So that brings us to scheme two. Scheme two actually looks very similar in a lot of ways because the efficiency of the first floor plate is still the same shape. But what we've done is we've pushed it out just a little bit into the front yard setbacks. And then what that does is just because of the geometry of it, we pick up a couple of extra stalls. I believe this scheme has 6 extra stalls in the end, which is what allows us to get the additional square footage, but to support the additional square footage of the office. And so basically in this scheme, what we're asking to do is we're asking to encroach off of Market Street 6 feet for most of the facade, with the exception of the elevator, which we're hoping to push out a little bit further to encroach 9 feet into the setback. And then we are encroaching almost 13 feet on 11th Avenue and encroaching 4'4" off of 3rd Street. What that allows us to do, again, is that it allows us to get all the parking to be a little bit more efficient. And it allows us to actually enclose all the parking within the building, so all of it will be shielded from the neighbors and be within contained within the building. The other thing it allows us to do is it allows us to do a little bit more of a generous lobby, and the configuration actually works out a little bit better. And then us asking for the elevator to be poked out as an element gives us a little bit more relief in the lobby, and also it makes it so that we have a kind of a massing element that we can celebrate on the outside of the facade. And so this is what this scheme looks like. And you can see that elevator is this kind of a vertical, expressed as a vertical element on the facade. And what's nice is when we push it out, we don't have to screen the elevator override so much. We can kind of make it a feature of the building. And we're actually pushing the mechanical back to the other side of the building and screening it at that point so that it doesn't have as tall of an appearance from the street. Because we have a little bit more generous of a lobby, we're hoping that we can do it a little bit more glazed and have it engage the street a little bit more. And with the scheme, because the scheme is approaching the street a little bit more, we're posing to, as part of our superior design, to create more of a public space out front of the entranceway, actually creating kind of an outdoor space is kind of our concept. This is just initial kind of ideas that we've sketched out. They're not our final design, but the idea would be to create some sort of sculpture or water feature as a focal point and then create seating around it. And then it's a little bit hard to see in this because it's coming out a little dark, but what we're actually wanting to do is provide a wider sidewalk for the scheme, increase it from the code minimum to like an 8-foot sidewalk, but also create like a landscape buffer between the street and the plaza so that it's shielded from the street traffic and protected a little bit in order to create a little bit of a greater sense of enclosure. We think that this one addresses the street very nicely. One thing you'll notice about the two schemes is that they look very different. It's not necessarily that one scheme is going to be one theme, the other one is the other one, but we wanted to show different facade treatments just so we can get some feedback from the board on which direction to go as we move forward and develop this design. The first scheme was kind of inspired by buildings on the south end of Market Street. So we were thinking about doing a two-story facade with a little bit more punch-type windows and maybe a little bit more of a historic feel. And this is one direction that we thought we could go. It may be more of a contemporary read on this kind of punch window feeling. That's why we have the image on the lower left-hand corner. I feel like there's ways we can take that and punch it up a little bit and make it a little bit more contemporary but still be contextual. The other direction we feel like it's actually maybe our preferred direction is to actually do more of a contemporary, more modern feel, a little bit more of a quiet building. And some of these, we had a hard time finding an exact good example for what we're doing, but I think this gives you a flavor of the direction we might be headed. And then also spend a lot of time and detail addressing that front courtyard and the public amenities that we'd be providing. So I guess what we had done is that we actually had a little bit of a model that we were going to fly you through a little bit, but our technology isn't working today, so I'm just going to bypass that. But I think the fly-through was supposed to talk about this idea of how Market Street, how it works. One of the things that's really interesting about Market Street is that it has two different characters depending on which side of the street you're on. If you're on the on the east side of the street, it's a very much a kind of a orthogonal street front, traditional setback situation. But the other side of Market Street is very different because the streets come into it at an angle. And so as you kind of go down the street, you kind of experience a whole different, you can actually, if you fly through the model, you can feel the two sides very differently in that there's a really strong street front on one side. But on the right side, it's kind of a, I know, for lack of better words, it's kind of a hodgepodge of different things because some of the buildings are orthogonal, some of them aren't. And then it's punctuated by basically corner lots and everything else that have kind of an open space feeling. So there isn't so much of a street frontage. And that's why I think, you know, our argument is that granting us a little bit of setback on this isn't going to really be noticed so much by most people going down the street because of the nature of the street on that side of the street. There seems to be some precedents set for it, and we think that the benefits of, you know, granting us that will pay itself back by a lot of kind of positive things that happen on this. scheme one is, you know, it's a viable scheme. We think it works pretty well. It meets all the code requirements. The cons we have for that basically are that, you know, it doesn't provide large enough floor plate for our tenant. We could probably get by with it, but it's not optimal for us. And the second thing is that it it's difficult for that scheme to keep all the parking contained within the building. We think it'd be nicer to have the parking screened from the street. So we think those are the cons behind it. And then the last kind of con for it is that the kind of the geometry created by how tight the parking is creates some kind of contorted lobby configurations that could be relieved with a little bit more space. Scheme two, the pros for that are that, you know, we think that we can provide, if, you know, it's a more, it's the economy of this building is a little bit more supportable for us. And with it, we might be able to be a little bit more generous with some of the improvements we make on the building. Setback itself allows for a more generous lobby configuration. The setback itself also allows all the parking to be screened within the building. Relaxing the setback will allow us to create a little bit more of an intimate, you know, plaza between the main entrance and the sidewalk. And, you know, with this, we're proposing a wider sidewalk and kind of a more of a public space in front of it. But along with that, we, you know, propose some amenities such as a water feature or a public sculpture or something that would be a focal point. You know, and along with that, we would also do public seating and just to make it more of a place to be. I think the relaxed setback allows us, especially if you grant us the additional setback for the elevator, to, you know, create a kind of a vertical element, and that also helps us with our composition and our apparent height of the building. And then there's some other things that, you know, we're actually exploring, is like doing things like solar array or doing green roof, trying to do some more green elements for this project that we'd also like to, you know, propose if we can get this to be more of an economically feasible building for us. So the cons, of course, is that we'll be encroaching into the front yard setbacks. And so for this one, we are requesting some design departures. Actually, I skipped one thing. For both schemes, we are asking for us to allow 4 off-site parking stalls to be counted. In addition to that, this scheme asks for reductions of front setbacks at of all 3 streets, which I kind of elaborated before, and I won't go over again at this point, but that's actually what we're asking for. One thing that's interesting between these two schemes that we discovered when reworking it again is that the second scheme too, it actually gets us, we use up all the impervious area that we're allowed for the project. But scheme one actually leaves some impervious area on the table just because of the setbacks. And so we kind of think of that as an indicator of showing why the geometry of the site is actually, you know, more of a limiter for the site than the actually what was intended. It's just another interesting fact. So and that concludes my comments. I'd be happy to receive any questions.
Questions from the board to the applicant? Dave?
Let's see. On the 11th Avenue face of Scheme 2, I don't know if I can see it here, where you've got the parking obstructed, is there a door, garage door, overhead garage door?
We haven't actually even talked about that, whether we're going to do secure parking or not.
But then to the east of that, on my drawing, it looks like there are windows, but in fact, blocking the parking, but in fact, there isn't any depth there.
That's correct. What there is that for the first portion of that, there is a parking stall, but then when you get past that, like when as it starts to come around the corner, there's actually, in the plan, there's actually kind of a pre-foyer area that we could do windows for. Right now, we're showing kind of window-like fenestration because we'll probably do something with the facade to kind of imitate, you know, windows, but it won't be an actual window.
So could you, in fact, do that in Scheme 1? I'm not sure if you come down the hill how much you'd see into the parking garage, but if that was a concern, it looked to me like you could block that off somewhat.
We probably could massage that a little bit and block it off in Scheme 1. It would still leave the stall, like a stall and a half outside.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is just with the way the units of the parking layout, right, or else it ends up being where the facade is, it's like half a stall. So we'd have to figure out a way to either massage the stalls a little bit one way or other to get a wall in there. So it's definitely possible.
Okay, thank you.
asking for a departure on the elevator. How tall is it?
The elevator is 24 feet. Let me make sure that's right. Our height allowance is 25 feet from average grade, and the elevator is 4 feet above that. So,
but that's not a variation request. That's just allowed, correct? An elevator overrun.
The height is allowed from our understanding, but what we're asking for is for the elevator to encroach into the front setback. So that would be what we would be requesting.
Okay. So on, I think the last plans you had a rooftop deck. Is that disappeared?
Yes, right at this point it has disappeared because the stair override was something we need to make that work, and at this point we're not pursuing that. It may, you know, I mean, as we come back through and investigate, if we end up getting Scheme 2 and we start working our way through the green roof thing, it may come back up again. But right now, we're not pursuing it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Does the code just preclude access to the roof in general because of the restriction on a penthouse or stair elevator?
The only way we can think of doing it, it would be doing a stair that's like an external stair that goes up to it, because the problem is that I think we can get the handrail and everything else to work. It's if you wanted a, you know, a covered, you know, access to the roof, I think that would be the problem. So.
And the elevator needs to serve it for accessibility.
Yeah, that's one of those gray areas, depending on how small you make the rooftop, and that may or may not, you know,
if it's
apply.
Considered almost a mezzanine or a rather than an actual story or a floor.
Right. Yeah. I think I've seen it done before where you do like a exterior stair that comes up to it, and then you do one of the accessible, like, attached to the stair kind of accesses and stuff like that. So there are probably ways to do it, but it gets to be a little bit cumbersome, and I'm not sure we're pursuing that right at this point. So. Yeah, for the second scheme. I think for the first scheme, I think we're, to be frank, I think the economics start getting really tight for us, and we might still do PV, but we, you know, probably aren't gonna, we're going to be trying to trim things, try to make it work, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the, for your entrance plaza there along Market, did you guys think at all about essentially extending it? It kind of sticks out there, but extending along the rest of the frontage there that you have along Market Street, or
yeah, we actually really wanted to do that. What we're limited by is the pervious versus impervious
okay.
area, and so that's, because that's we basically made it as big as we could without running out of
I got you.
Area.
That's probably what I was guessing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just curious.
So yeah, I think that was a natural inclination, but I think that's kind of where we stopped at.
Okay,
so.
Code requirement for that landscaping buffer on the, I'll call it the west and the south sides, that's not being asked for at this point, is that right? Because of the parallel parking on the alley and all of that?
It's a requirement to, they would need a parking landscape buffer modification for along the alley.
Okay.
So they would need to get approval from the adjacent property owners.
And that's not a Chapter 142 variation
no.
on our part?
No.
Okay. Okay. The question in general on both schemes 1 and 2, is there a reason that, especially at the basement level, that we're not pushing closer, this is kind of to the applicant, we're not pushing closer to the property lines and getting more space down there, more parking?
That question comes back to the whole pervious area question, because in order to stay pervious, we have to keep it so it's contiguous with the grade. Like, we can't, because it slopes off to one side. If we push off on the south and the west sides underneath it, it actually pokes out of the ground. It's not below grade. Okay. So we can't get enough cover on it to count it as pervious.
In the previous project tonight, we were talking specifically about that. I mean, how much cover is required to be considered pervious or permeable?
The portion of the garage that extends.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if the garage essentially pokes out of the ground a little bit, how do we, I mean, previously we were talking about it was going to be permeable on 330.
But this one pokes out of the ground, whereas the other one was well underground.
Well, it may or may not have been. I mean, it still is. There's a garage and there's a concrete slab at some point underneath there. And how much is that distance to be considered permeable versus non?
How deep does the dirt have to be?
So my understanding on previous projects I've done in the city of Kirkland is that they usually expect about 4 feet of cover, and it has to be somehow contiguous with the actual natural grade so that the water has a way to, you know, to rejoin the aquifer,
to
basically
find its way back into
right.
the aquifer.
And so those are the requirements that I've been told before, and that's what we've actually designed before in previous projects. But I don't know if there's more leniency or something else. If there is, then we can certainly look into that, because we would love to do that, but that's just based on our previous experience.
Okay. It would be worth discussing, because I'm not sure that's entirely correct. There may be more flexibility, but you're going to be combining looking at your height, like how far above grade you're getting, plus your lot coverage.
Sure.
So there's a couple factors competing there that
sure.
we can look at with you.
Yeah, I mean, we'd welcome the opportunity to do that if we could figure out a way to do it.
And in both one and two, where are either garbage bins or receptacles, and how are we? I know the residential just put the bins out and the truck heads down the alley. With the three parking stalls parallel there and the ramp down into the basement.
Can you point at it or? Yeah.
And basically the same location on both schemes.
It's off of the alley, basically, on the backside of that stair. We're going to probably do a trash enclosure there at that location.
Okay. Okay, that was my only questions. Anybody else with direct questions on clarifying?
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Now would be time for anyone in the audience, if they wish to speak to this project specifically, just please give us your name and address. And
Ken McKenzie.
Do it at the – okay.
My name is Ken McKenzie. I live at 236 7th Avenue West. I sent a letter that I think got forwarded around, and if you need a copy of the letter, I have that. But in the meantime, this is a summary of what's in the letter. Do they have it? Okay. So I'm told you have a copy of my letter. It's a 6-page analysis of mm-hmm. both one and two. And this is a kind of a visual summary. I clipped a couple of pages out of the packet, and the top page says, I'm fundamentally not against civil engineering. I'm an engineer myself, different sort, but it's cool. But I'm concerned about projects that don't conform to zoning. And one thing in particular is the lack of parking, the 4 spaces off-site, because this is a very strange geometry, again, because of the funky angles of Market. I think this is a really big project that's kind of out of character with its adjacent neighborhood, even the office building across 11th Avenue West, which is a pretty good-sized office building, but you don't notice it when you walk down Market. And this building will jump right out at you. I think it has pretty significant traffic and pedestrian safety problems. So we'll talk about those on the next two pages. But I think these guys ought to be around, and 505 Market is open, and it's big. So that seemed like a really good choice. But scheme one, concerns. I guess start at the bottom, lack of neighborhood parking. Because of the geometry of this, let's look. There's no parking on Market. There's sort of one unstriped area along Market, but it's actually on a crosswalk. And there really is no useful space on 3rd either, adjacent to the building. And the reason is because of that strange corner there. It's a very gentle corner, and people rip right around it. Bicycles in particular come down Market, and then they want to turn right and go down Third. And if you block that in any way, you destroy the what little sight line there is now. So I'm concerned. You'll find that people don't usually park there. So we can't count that as a parking spot. There is one spot or two spots, perhaps, along the front of the property across the alley. And there are some spots on the triangular lot to the south, but that's clearly going to go away when that gets developed. If you go up on the north side, because of the business at 11th Avenue, across 11th Avenue West, there's a lot of business-related parking on 11th Avenue West. So between the competing businesses and the lack of street space, we really can't count on off-street parking here, is my fundamental point. And what little parking there is gobbled up by commuters, people that are on the 255 line, drive their cars to Market Street near a bus stop, park it all day, get on the bus, and go to Seattle. Okay, and then moving up, unsafe alley use. So my concern here is this alley is a residential alley. This is the only business located on it. And the rest of the alley is all residences. Kids play in alleys. Kids ride their bikes in alleys. Kids throw baseballs into alleys from their yard and then go trace it down. We really don't want to introduce a bunch of commercial traffic into that alleyway, in my view. I think that's unwise. It's not there today. And there's two aspects of this. One is the parallel parking, which there was talk about screening, but I couldn't figure out how that would work other than people would drive in the alley, parallel park, and then drive out. So I viewed that those three parallel parking spaces as increasing the alley traffic. And then the exit of the garage into the alley dramatically increases the amount of traffic in the alley. Now, some of it will turn left as you come out of the garage and go out to 3rd Street. But they're not going to be able to go south on Market very conveniently from there because there's hardly any street. And there's no real traffic on that alley now, so it doesn't present a problem. But assuming they get across that traffic coming off of Market onto 3rd and get south on Market, that's pretty cool. But if they want to go north on Market, they can't turn left at 3rd because there's median there. They could go down to 8th Avenue, I guess it is, or 9th Avenue West, and goes out to Market where there is a cut through. It's extremely difficult. A lot of people will instead turn right on the alley and navigate through where the Zip Market is and stuff like that and get on the other side of Zip Market where there's a really nice way to get onto Market Street going north. So having that garage exit onto the alley, I think, is going to create a lot of problems. And anything you do to reduce the sight line on that alley for any reason, even for the existing traffic, by moving this property into the setback, I think is going to increase the danger of cars trying to navigate their way from the alley out onto Market.
Ken, can you summarize too quickly? We're typically 3 minutes, and I'm willing to grant you
extra time. So scheme two. It has a lot of the same stuff, so I don't think we're going to have to go through too much of that. And all the details are in my letter, so please read the letter. The non-conforming setback for me is a big problem for the safety reasons and I think also the aesthetic reasons. This is not a business district on Market. Down at 7th Avenue, it is a business district, and there's no setback, and that works. But up here, it's not. The art refuge entryway just didn't seem to me like a useful way to pay for intruding into the setback. I think that probably, I didn't realize I had a 3-minute limit for this. But again, it's in my letter.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other members in the audience speak? Seeing none, let's go ahead and begin deliberation. Perhaps the easiest way is just jump right in and let's start discussing the variations requested.
Yeah.
Dave?
I raised this concern before. I think of Market as a successful suburban boulevard. It's not an urban one, and it's protected by the 20-foot setbacks, with exception of the historic area, business area, and then when you get down, a small business area, and then when you get down right near the downtown. So I think this is, I'm a little worried about, I think it's important to view this project in a corridor context, and I'm concerned about precedent. And so the question then is, what is the public benefit for variances which would allow this larger project to fit the site? And I'm interested to see what people think.
Are you speaking equally to all three setbacks, Market, Third, and
my concern right along has been Market.
Primarily Market, the 20-foot on,
yeah.
Market, okay. Others, anybody else? Carolyn, this is...
I have to concur with Dave. I think it's a nice solution scheme, too. I think they've addressed some of the issues pretty well with the superior design and providing a public amenity. This building is still flanked by houses on either side. There is this, greater urban design, and I'm concerned that if we grant it here, it's, where does that stop? The next person's going to come along and say, well, there's precedent, and the next person's going to come along and say, there's precedent. I can't say, I think it's a very nice scheme, and I certainly think it meets the needs of the applicant a lot more than the other one does, and I'm sympathetic to that. I like the scheme, but I still really have my concerns.
One of the thoughts I had about the I thought maybe made scheme two stick out even more as they'd said it, as they like the approach of a more modern looking building. I think that's just a double whammy on.
Yeah,
I was thinking to myself, well, if you did step it back to more of a, yeah, it's new, but a bit of a historic feel to it, that maybe that would help.
I'm wondering though,
mitigate some of that feel. It's tough to see in this, at this level.
I liked. In when they showed the one down the left corner here,
that was admittedly that, yeah, it was the one I liked best.
Yeah, well, it's because it had the historic feel, but a little bit of contemporary design elements to it. The one of the things I'm going to play devil's advocate on scheme two is, what is more desirable though? A little more building out front and getting rid of a parking space, which I hate that on scheme one. And you know what? We see that all the way down Market, where all these buildings mm-hmm. have a blacktop area and parking out front, whether it's the Choice Insurance building mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is just god awful because it's a square box with a parking lot out front. Mm-hmm. Or you go down, and the one thing I will say, this does blend around the corner on scheme mm-hmm. two. But my comment is, I'm looking at it in the concept here. It looks like a glass and hardy board building, and that's god-awful. It would have to have characteristics of what is down the street brought in to even make it begin to work.
Mm-hmm. But let's...
We weren't saying scheme two is contemporary.
Come up to the mic.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to clarify. We presented two different ideas because we wanted feedback, but they're not associated with one scheme or the other. So
yeah.
We could take one and put it on the other one, another one. I just want to make sure we don't get, select the massing based on what our facade, because we're actually in just the phase where we're supposed to be presenting massing. The only reason we showed these other things is just to give you a little bit more of a feel for scale. So.
Sometimes
I thought I'd heard a comment that more modern is what you thought it was more.
Well, that's our preference, but that's the reason we showed the two different schemes. We want feedback on which one you wanted to, which direction you wanted to go.
And even though we're not really talking that design response, level at this point. I think it doesn't matter if it's, you know, modern looking or not or historic. I think it's the scale or the granularity of the pieces and parts, how it's put together, that will determine if it's appropriate or not appropriate. But that's for a later discussion. The one thing on Scheme 1, and I think, Scott, this is where you were kind of dancing around too, is Scheme 1 gives us a huge yawning opening that's a clear span all the way across the full drive aisle and that parking, unless they plunk down a column with all kinds of protection around the base of it to keep those two stalls separated. And I believe it's actually, isn't that the, there's some barrier-free aspect in the middle of that. Yeah, so I agree with that. Scheme 2, unfortunately, I think, Dave, you brought it up with one of your initial questions, is when we get to that kinked corner, those glass, you know, we're looking into a parking garage rather than an office. So on the left-hand side of the elevator in the entry or the atrium core, it's all offices and their stuff, and then on the right-hand side of it, it's cars, you know, behind pseudo spandrel glass, you know, whatever. I mean, and it doesn't really, that piece of it doesn't work to my eye as well. You know, getting back to the whole notion of variations into the setbacks, if I understand correctly, the little triangle to the south was previously granted a variation to a zero setback line on Market. Is that correct, Jeremy?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that file, but I think the important distinction is that they talked about the hardship variance. So a true variance is a hardship test.
Not a variation from DRB.
Okay. It's not the DRB's authority. The DRB deals with, does it result in superior design and can you minimize the impacts?
Not the hardship.
Really different criteria that are important to keep in mind.
Okay. The other thing, and I know this flies totally against what Dave is saying, and this is a suburban boulevard. I would say, what if the planning commission and the comp plan and everything else kind of got it wrong? That this is, in fact, is now and is going to be in the future in the next 100 years much more of an urban feel on both sides of the street that needs and wants development that is not, you know, suburban little pitched roof low rise with parking in front of it like exists the rest of the way up on this 45 degree side of Market.
But and well, the DRB,
is that our job?
It certainly
something
is,
that comes to us from the Planning Commission, presumably.
They may never have looked at it, and they may never have thought about the implications of, from an urban design perspective of what, you know, what this can be.
I'd prefer to have the Planning Commission review it from that standpoint than have us, you know,
set precedence
the
with the minor variation. That may be valid, but maybe... I mean, I'm inclined to say that, you know, full 20-foot setbacks all the way, like the building across 11th that didn't apparently do anything other than just, you know, go right to the code compliance, doesn't really create very much interest on that side of Market Street. I think it isn't a residential street anymore, if it ever was. It's got buses on it. It's got cars all hours of the day. It's a very urban feel to it, but with these leftover 1950s and 40s low-rise residential things that have parking out in front of them that may never change if it has to stay at a 20-foot setback on Market. So I'm inclined to grant some variation into that setback. I don't know. I think this one was, what did we say, 13?
13 feet.
213 feet, not 13 feet.
Oh, two, okay.
213'9", so what, 6'3" into that setback. I think diagrammatically the thing that stands out to me is that as you head down 3rd Street West, the face of that building, and I think this is pretty accurate, roughly aligns with the face of those residences. There's a brand new one right there. That so when you come down Market and take that right, like the gentleman from the audience said, it isn't that this piece of the new structure sticks out that much further than what's already there on the residential piece of it. I'm still a little bit troubled by the parallel parking on the alley. I think there may be some better ways to get rid of that, have a better buffer or setback there, or more room for the realistic garbage cans and everything else that happens there. And either the structure gets reduced in size or we find a better way to park in the basement to get rid of those alley parking stalls. Because just by definition, those will create exit parking that goes out through the neighborhood rather than heading quickly to market, either via 3rd Street West or directly to market, either way there. So, Susan, you're noticeably quiet yet, and I know you'll...
I might be odd person out here a little bit. I think I same as last time. I understand the dilemma of us changing zoning or comp plan language or whatever. I don't feel that's our. I don't feel like that's up to us. So, but that aside, I think that the applicant did a nice job. I think compared to what we saw last time, they. I think it's a heartfelt attempt to balance, to take what we said to heart and say and come back somewhere in between, not take, take too much, not ask too much in terms of the setbacks. I think that the frontage on Market Street is very nice, and I think it would be very nice for passersby, maybe for people who work in the building. I think it's a good example of offering a benefit for a benefit to the public for a benefit to the project. So I want to commend them on that, and I think that we have two projects here tonight where we're asking to being asked to grant deviations to setbacks, and it's interesting that we have more problem on this one than the other one.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And I think the previous project, what we were talking about is making it a better project, not a bigger project to fit. And this one, to me, it's a real squeeze. It wouldn't fit without variances. Whereas the other one, we were talking about making changes so the project that will fit is better. There's a difference that I see there.
I think that allowing a business to, meet the requirements.
I'm an engineer
is
too.
Appropriate. So, that sort of falls into what should we, what is. These are hard questions for us as a board, right?
Well, plus with the unique shape of the lot, I think the applicant has blended it very well. And I think we need to look at it as a board, especially with these two schemes. What is the better of, what are we looking at? I like the way on scheme two, the, entrance to the building is more of a benefit to, I think, people just even driving by and visually looking at the project. Also, the lack of a parking space on, next to the building, very visible. I think that's a high negative. So I think if you're looking for, something that is a superior design, that may be it, that it takes out, something that makes it look like a suburban mall feel, which I think needs to disappear from Market Street.
I think, the point about the existing businesses along there all having parking between the sidewalk and the building is, whether it's in the code or not, I don't think it's a good urban design approach to, what ultimately, it's a very busy street, but I think one of the things we all want to foster is better walkability through the city, you know, on Market Street or mm-hmm. wherever. And I don't know. I think that there's benefit, design benefit that we're seeing for the less setbacks. And then the other thing I want to just comment on is regarding character of the project. And the difference, I have to say, the difference in area is really small. I will say that. I mean, it's only a few hundred square feet. So, right? Is that right?
1,700.
Oh, mm-hmm. 1,700. Okay.
It's really,
but it's two floors.
Yeah.
Contiguous plate.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess backing up, it's like a balloon, right? I mean, you can see that you're parking, you push here, and your parking is squishing out the alley, and, you know, vice versa. I think, you know, I don't know if there's any way to get a break on the parking requirement. I don't know how many people take the bus to work at your office or ride their bikes or whatever, but, you know, that is there any leniency in the city code for a break on parking?
Well, they're already asking for four less parking stalls.
So. That's strictly based on a demand study.
So mm-hmm. Has there been a traffic study? And
yes. Yes. So they submitted a parking demand study evaluating all of the available on-street parking surrounding the property and submitted it to our transportation engineer. And the next step would be making a recommendation, which he has done, to the planning department. And then we give a notice to the surrounding property owners before making a decision. So we have not made a decision yet on that.
Well, anyway, the last thing I was going to say about character is that, again, I would rather see a modern building that is has the texture that blends with the old buildings, but I'm not a fan of replicating an old building.
But the one I will on that element, on Scheme 2, the one thing that I really don't like is the elevator in the front of the building. Scheme 1, it's blended, and I think bringing in those characteristics of what you see down the street, the elevator stands out to me. So when we are modulating, I'd like to see that modulated out or blended with the building a little bit more.
The beauty of this board is I thought exactly the opposite. I thought I wanted to see it isolated even more instead of blending with that piece of the facade.
Let it
somehow resolve what happens on the right side of that elevator core. So it's office on the second story, but it's not office on the lower story. The parking in there, and that's a further resolution issue, I think.
Again, if the parking could somehow go low or something in there, it could be more usable space along that side of the facade.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, the parking ratio is 1 to 300 square feet. So to get rid of the four requested off-site means reducing it by 1,200 square feet, mm-hmm. which is essentially one versus two and then a little bit left over. Park it better, more efficiently, somehow, and either request fewer off sites to avoid that whole issue. And we can't say downsize it, make it smaller, but we can say that it's too massive, it's too big, bulk wise and mass wise, for the site. The Scheme 2, I do appreciate the fact that the HVAC and everything else is pulled way back mm-hmm. and screened, back there. And it looks like the maximum 50-foot lengths for the second-story elements are handled pretty well. I think we had commented on the first conference about those existing conifers that really help to screen that element as it's pushed forward. Yes, trees die and get replaced, and or blow down or whatever, but I do think that something in that landscape buffer there can work pretty well to you know, mitigate that chunk of second story next to the residential property adjacent. So we come back again to the Dave and Carolyn versus Susan and Tim, and I don't know what else we're at.
Well, it's probably a good time to remind you. I mentioned this at the last meeting. You're really not making a decision tonight because before you make that decision, we're going to send out public notifications. And the boards are going to go up. And so it'd probably be a mistake to overcommit to one position or the other. Yeah. But there's probably more that we would consider this if you make these things, and then you're really just going to consider that at the design response conference.
Yeah.
And to really be a non-committal political answer, I do really scheme one or two. I very much so appreciate scheme two over the zero setback that we were looking at last time. So I think that is you know, definitely in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem I have, and I sympathize, is that this is just a lot of project to get on that site, and it's a difficult site. But that's not news. You know, the site has been there a long time.
Do we have a sense that we're willing to sort of say yes, we would be okay with some variations into the setbacks on Market, 3rd Street West and 11th Ave West without specifying certain amounts or distances? Or
I mean, the fact that it's come to us, that staff is, his staff, you've allowed it to come this there's nothing has happened so far in staff review that says it's too much to be asking.
We don't block.
You don't block it at this point.
Yeah, we don't block a lot of stuff. I mean, I think it's really, you gave them direction the last time that some setback variations may be appropriate if they could demonstrate that there was a benefit, a superior design of that. I think what you don't really know yet is some correspondence has started to come in, but do you find ultimately that it has a significant detrimental impact or it doesn't? I think you kind of have to reserve judgment on that. But if you feel that the amount of setback variation is roughly commensurate with the amount of superior design that you're seeing, then you'd say move forward or give direction about tilting that balance one way or the other. To Dave's point, if it's a mistake, we're not going to approve setback variations from the Market Street frontage, then that's good direction too.
I'm not making that point. I'm just.
Oh, I know.
I'm concerned about that, and I want to make sure that there's public benefit and design to compensate. Right.
Just for my own curiosity, just asking a question here, not even suggesting it's something they would do, but say there was a case where design review is being asked for what is perceived as being a significant variance, as an applicant ever, and maybe they usually do this step first, go to the planning commission and get rezoned or have the code changed before, so take that decision totally out of our hands.
That's kind of a multi-year process.
Yeah, that's a total. That's a much more serious process.
And you wouldn't look at it on a one-off basis. You really look at the corridor and say.
Right, but I'm saying then they do take into consideration what is their plan for that if they haven't looked at it in 40 years. Well,
I'd like to just say
here's the spark to do it. But
well, in Chapter 142, it gives you the authority to look at reduced setbacks in this zone if they meet certain criteria, the two criteria
that we discussed.
So the Planning Commission has already, given that flexibility, you might say.
I think your fear of precedent is just making sure that you feel that you have justified your decision. So if somebody came back and asked for the same thing again, I mean, you're never going to get this exact circumstance, but they're being treated equitably. And that you feel strongly enough about what you've approved or might approve here, that it stands at tested precedent.
I think the requested variation setback that I think perhaps bothers me most might be the one on 11th Ave West. That's the largest one, because I think heading from the neighborhood toward Market on 11th West, you're going to see that piece of building sticking out quite a bit greater in front of the residential structures that should be 20 feet back. There may be some non-conforming, but will be 20 feet back, or the 7-foot encroachment for an open front porch that's allowed and encouraged by the code. But I think that one is the one that kind of sticks in my craw the most. The Market is 6'3", I'm reading it, request variation, and 10'8" at the entry. So at the entry pokes out a little bit, but I think that is dealable with at a later date. And I think, keep in mind too, I think we identified at the previous meeting that from the property line to the curb face is already 13 or so feet. So from curb to building face, we're talking a pretty good distance setback, right there. So like I say, I'm okay with both the 3rd Street West, which is barely 4 feet 4 inches, Market a little over 6 feet, and again 11th West is the one that I think is most troublesome for me. I don't know if others concur, agree, or if
I agree.
And it again with, I think Scott brought it up initially, just if there's a way to keep the parking inside the structure instead of having it lap out. And if it means we lose a parking stall or two for having a superior building, then that may be what it comes to. Anything else? Is there any other pieces that we're not addressing in terms of these schemes?
Is that saying that we would then grant more off street parking?
That's not our call, though.
In the name of the superior building?
It's not our, is it correct, Janice? It's not our decision that goes, the four off street
no,
through
it's
the traffic
not your
study.
Decision,
okay.
No.
Okay.
So I guess the other thing I would say is that we haven't had this many letters for a while.
Yeah.
We were able to skim them tonight. When it looks, I think mm-hmm. that they're all.
Majority are in support.
McKenzie's.
A few of them are not immediately surrounding the property.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McKenzie was very, very detailed in his analysis and presentation of his letter, and so I think we need to acknowledge the fact mm-hmm. that we have heard from a lot of people.
Well, I think the applicant encouraged a number
yeah.
of these letters, which is fine.
Do we feel that the public plaza, whether it's water feature, art, and all that, is that what makes a superior building, or is it if we do grant
the
variations?
Only thing that I kind of didn't like about the public plaza is then the walled off section that became, private plaza.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of mm-hmm. had the feeling that if you're doing a superior and asking for it, it kind of should be an open area.
I'd have to ask them. I don't know if that's a kind of like I was asking along the lines too. Why didn't we just take it all the way across if it's
it
impervious
should be more open
surface
looking,
issue? And
it looks like it may be more landscape related.
Yeah, I think that's
yeah.
to get the
that's the intent mm-hmm. with
to
the
cut
seating
out the
wall.
Impervious surface.
Oh,
okay. So there's it's a seating wall and that's
landscaping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
so
I read
really
it as like
off.
An interior
mm-hmm.
courtyard
yeah.
area, and so no, I see it's green now.
Yeah.
I think I think Scott maybe touched on it earlier. The only thing that really jumped out about to me, regardless of setbacks and all that on scheme two, is the I actually kind of liked the and maybe I'm the odd man out here. I kind of liked the I think I liked the facade a little bit more on scheme one than two. The elevator to me did just really stick out. And that's probably the fault of the...
I'm not saying that if it was accentuated more, it wouldn't seem a little less awkward to me right there.
And just for the level of sketchup this is, that's probably doing it no justice at all. So,
well, without looking too hugely into it, it looks like in scheme two, it is very possible to take that elevator and move it back into the, there's a large, you know, restrooms on both floors. I mean, there is a way to move it back in instead of having it as a pokey out, mm-hmm. you know, real obvious outy elevator element that is much closer than the 6 feet that I had talked about, the variation there. The advantage, I think, of that scheme, too, is that it presents a real open lobby area that shows the stairway to the second story that is much more activated than what scheme one did. But mm-hmm. the elevator, I think there's ways to work with that and not putting a restroom on the front of the building. But there's got to be a different way to if we get later on down the road and don't like.
I want to caution, though, against pulling everything flat. I think that the...
The opposite.
Yeah, having a vertical element, having a break in the facade is positive. I think that, you know, if anything, the rest of the facades are pretty taut right now. And mm-hmm. You know, if we're really looking for superior design, I think that it could expand a little from that plaza area and perhaps a vertical element to more interest as you move around those three sides. Mm-hmm. So.
And the fact that it's rendered as either vertical, you know, fiber cement panels or, you know, real crisp metal paneling or something like that that has a scale for the Porsche dealership in Bellevue rather than, you know, something here. And you're talking about texture and the scale of the pieces. Okay, so is that enough guidance to the applicant?
I guess the thing is are they, if you proceed with the reduced setbacks, we can't give our unequivocal support, right? So mm-hmm. it's at risk pending public comment?
Sure.
Is that where we're at?
I think that's where we're at. Can they jump directly to a design response conference, or do we?
Yeah, I think you should send it on to a design response conference, and because conceptual conferences aren't getting the public notice,
right?
So send it on. This project has a lot of moving parts with public process and a variant, so there's going to be lots of opportunities for public comment, and public comment can always influence that on the variant of design response conference.
So the other variances that are required, what order do they come in this process?
Well,
they influence?
Yeah, they before they go to the hearing examiner for the height variance, they need to have a direction on the setback variance, unfortunately, from you and the design response decision. And the reason for that is that there's, in case the design response conference is appealed, you can only have one open record public hearing.
How about the parking?
And
if the parking isn't going to be allowed, then the project gets changed.
The parking is an administrative decision.
But isn't there a notification?
Yes, we require notification of that as well. So, you know, there's just all of these different decisions.
But is that notification just to adjacent property owners?
Yes.
Not public notice in the paper or?
Right.
Okay.
But... 300 feet.
Okay.
So.
And the height variation is the issue of based on whether historic versus
That's correct.
Present day.
That's correct.
And do we know if to the applicant if they right now just said we're not even going to try for that, to not even open that can of worms, is the project doable height-wise, or is it so low even using just the least rectangle technique?
That would be a question for the applicant.
Is that?
We did run the least rectangle technique on it. It made you want to?
We did take your advice and ran the rectangle mm-hmm. analysis and made a 2-inch difference, so it wasn't mm-hmm. significant.
But based on historic versus
right,
present.
Right. And then if we don't get the height allowance, I think the project still is doable. But what happens is the ramp into the garage gets longer and the access gets longer, so we start losing parking stalls, and so it may shrink because if we don't get the height,
you just have to.
Yeah, it's trying to hit the grade, which causes us some issues. But I think it's doable. It's just it may not be as efficient by the time we get done.
Okay.
And does it pull the main floor below the grade?
I'm sorry?
Will that pull the main floor below the sidewalk grade?
Yeah, that might affect the main floor a little bit too. We haven't looked at it that carefully. I think we can do it, but our preference is to go off with historical grades because I think the building actually sits better on the site. It doesn't sit in a hole. And so I think everybody's win-win by the time we get done, but that's my opinion.
Does Public Works have anything to say about the use of the alley for parking and exit mm-hmm. from the building and things of that sort?
No.
When does that come to play? I mean, I'm concerned about the order.
There's a lot of the administrative decisions are going to happen kind of first, so I think that the parking decisions, the traffic. I don't think we're looking at rooftop appurtenances anymore. But those are kind of the first step in it.
So we're likely to have some feedback on that before we have the design response.
The design response conference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there are.
It's like, I didn't get that high in algebra with that many variables. There should be fewer. Okay, so is the applicant satisfied with enough direction from us on where we think we're headed?
So if I can summarize, mm-hmm. It sounds like that you are still a little bit on the wall about how much setback we're going to be granted along Market Street. That seems to be the biggest thing. And then along 11th, it seems like we have too much. Kind of the feeling we have. We can go back and work with that. But it seems like there is room for us to have setback as long as we maintain enough superior design coming out of this to justify it. Mm-hmm. And I think us moving forward will give us a better chance to show you more because, again, we're just moving out of massing and we haven't really spent the time to, like, really design facades and everything else. And so I think moving forward, we'll be able to justify this more strongly if we could put the time into it. I think just, from our point, we just need to have enough security that it is an open. We don't want to go through this whole exercise just to have it pulled back like there's no setbacks because if that's where you guys are going to end up, we'd kind of like to know about it now and then we can really design the building within those restraints. But it feels like there's enough leeway for us to work with if I'm not.
I think that's a fairly summarizing too much. Summary. None of us, I don't think, are saying it has to be code compliant exactly to 20 foot
right.
on
right.
All the sides.
And I think we are trying to endeavor to keep the assets minimum as we need to. We're just trying to work with what happens with the geometry of the site and what it asks us to do with, like, if we can get, like, a parking stall hidden, that's why it was pulled out that far in that site is mm-hmm. that was the result of it. If we can find a way to pull it in a little bit more, we will.
Okay. Okay.
Rob is asking if you guys can clarify your opinion on whether we want a roof deck or not on this project.
I liked it, but I will say when you were talking about coming up there with very unobtrusive railing, that's desirable. Having a taller parapet is not.
Okay. There might be a way we can work that in there. So,
my personal opinion is the rooftop decks, even on houses that have the illegal umbrella that pops up, that is clearly outside of the allowed height limit. You know, I think a roof deck that is just open and windswept with no covering on it, I think is not really heavily usable. I think the front plaza on Market or some other place is a more likely spot for.
Most of the buildings that I do that have amazing views of downtown Seattle, no one ever goes up there. And that's, you know, we have a couple buildings on Capitol Hill that literally we're the only ones that go up there to service the rooftop plantings. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
I probably have a little bit different experience people using them, but I honestly think having a green roof is.
I like for the interest of viewing, I think.
Okay, and
rather than a big, you know, flat roof, I like seeing things that break up the roof.
Yeah. I don't think there's an enormous view potential from this particular roof. And I know, Rob, you're coming to the mic. Is this intended to be, or if it were, is this for staff use?
Right, and if we can clarify, so the intent was just to have a very, very small rooftop deck to have potentially a barbecue for staff events, you know, on the occasional lunch. So we would just strap down a little Weber gas barbecue to the tower to get up there and then use it. So we were thinking like a 600-700 square foot little corner. Then the option was, do we do the rest of the roof in solar array panels for the environmental component, LEED energy generation, or is the preference to go green roof? Because, you know, green roof is one option. The solar array guys, they want to take every bit of the roof that they can to make it efficient and centralize your equipment, centralize your little roof deck into a corner, and then panelize the rest of it. So we're playing, I guess we're trying to ask, is there a preference? I guess I would say our preference is to put solar panels on it because we think that's very environmentally conscious, and we're engineers and we think that's cool, more so than a green roof. But we still like the idea of having a little alcove for a barbecue area for the staff.
I don't think it's.
From my standpoint, I just encourage you to continue to pursue some sustainability measures.
I agree with that.
And I think if it's a small rooftop deck that meets code and everything else, that's not for us to say yes, do it, or no, not do it. That's your call. What you're suggesting doesn't seem like it's going to be it's going to detract from the superior aspects of a building design at all.
When people will see the PVs.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a bad thing.
So having sustainability doesn't add to superior design?
Well, yes, it does. I'm just
saying.
right.
Yes. I think it does.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do. I'm just saying if it's a large roof deck that, you know, looks
so
out of place.
Can I ask a question, though? What are you saying is more sustainable, having a green roof or having a solar panels on the roof?
You're addressing different issues, right? So the green roof would take care of stormwater runoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there might be an advantage to that. In some ways, it's just good to have somebody do something you know, on Market Street where people are going by and they're aware that someone's taking those steps. So,
mm-hmm.
Honestly, that to me, it's almost more of a PR thing than anything else. And I, you know, I'd be happy with whatever you choose. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And if I can also clarify, before we didn't have any setback on the 11th, and the feedback was no, pull it back on Market, but push it on 11th. And now tonight you've actually said, no, let's pull it back off 11th.
It was me that brought it up, and I'm not saying go all the way back to the 20 feet. I'm just saying kind of find that nice, happy medium that doesn't feel like it's poked out when you come southeasterly on 11th West. You'll see, you know, that building sticking out beyond the conifers, as it looks like, if they're located correctly here. If it's beyond that, it's going to stick out much more in front of any residence as you drive down that street, I think.
So then it's probably not shown correctly, because that wall of trees between ourselves and Bob Blair's property, it's the whole property
all
line.
All the way to
it's,
the curb line, essentially.
Yeah, and there's like 25 of those conifers sticking up. They're not.
Okay.
The plans show like 5, but, I mean, it's a wall.
Okay.
I mean, you can't even see through it.
To the extent that they sometimes go bye-bye you know, and then there's a building that's there without the conifers in it. I'd hate to have, you know, established that.
Sure.
I don't know how others feel.
It didn't strike me. I guess, yeah, same thing, not clear enough picture.
Okay.
Just didn't jump out to me.
Okay. Anything else from...
No, sorry to run so long. You guys just really are engaged with our project. That's just so fun.
That's what we do.
I'm glad you care. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So Varese is continued. We know the date on that.
Well, they've put in a written request that the DRB continues it to their next meeting on November 21st while they work on some access issues.
Okay, Jeremy, can I actually put one little input into that after looking at the plan? You know, we asked them for, you know, a distinct landscape plan, and they basically gave us almost the same thing they did last time. There's no quantities of trees. They don't tell us where the trees go. They just show pictures of trees, and then they have a beautiful drawing over here. There's no key. There's no quantities. We don't know what goes where, and so that doesn't do us any good.
We'll pass that on to the applicant.
And what did you think of the treatment of the east side?
They're not here. And
oh, yeah, right. Okay.
It's being continued.
And, Jeremy, the only reason I said that is just to so that they don't have to come back
that's
again.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, and that was the spirit of my comment, but it's probably not the right time to say it.
So you need a motion and a vote to do that.
To continue?
To continue to November 21st.
I move that we continue to the Varese project to November 21st.
Second.
Moved and seconded to continue the design response conference for Varese to November 21st. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We will see that one in 2 weeks. And there's no other administrative things that we're discussing tonight. Nothing else administrative we're discussing tonight, so let's do the adjournment. Anybody?
There's just one thing. Don't rush off because we have.
It's a cake time.
Yeah,
that's right.
So those are.
They don't say quantity or where what goes.
The Susan's leaving us after 12 years of working with the design review board. None of you have even been here that long.
Wow.
So just congratulations to her. She's off to California to pursue a new career working for the city of
San Mateo.
San Mateo in lean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm missing everybody. And I know it's a little late to be eating cake.
It's never late.
We can do that.
Having said that, I move to adjourn, I guess.
Is there a second? Okay. Moved and seconded for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?